What do you know, Justin? It's look at this. We're actually recording multiple episodes with no breaks in between.
Yeah, I know. We're almost going to top our 2022 total. I mean, I think we're three quarters of the way there with this episode. It'll put us three quarters of the way to our 2022 total episodes.
That's a good thing. Because you know, between you and I never quite recovered from lockdown. I'm still like trying to get over the fact that I have to like get dressed and go outside and bathe. It's like, what kind of nonsense is that?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I know. Me too. I mean, I'm always wearing a mask in my car. I bathe only in sterile environments. It's like, you see those movies where they go out into space and they have to go through that one cleansing room? Yeah. That's what my house is like.
I've been in your house. It's definitely not that.
Oh, whoa. Wow. Don't ruin it, man. I had it going.
So, I know these people don't know you. Our seven listeners.
Yeah.
What is up, my man? Looks like we're going to do a news episode, huh?
Yeah. You know, I've been playing with ChatGPT a lot and AI, and you know that I know that ChatGPT is freaking awesome.
Yes.
I'm having it write me movie scene scripts. I'm having it write me songs. I'm having it write me poems. I'm having it write me incredible, incredible things.
I think that it should write you a...
Sonnets? Shakespearean sonnets?
Yeah. I think you have too much free time on your hand is what I think, man. I'm
Maybe I do. Yeah.
You know, but you know something, what we do have time for is some news. So let's do some theme music. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Andrew Sturgeon.
And I'm Justin Womack.
We are the Marketing Geeks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so here we are. We are. If you've just heard this song that just played, our rotating theme song. One of the things that I did over the holiday was I learned how to make music with FL Studio Pro. So while you're off like messing around with ChatGPT and falling in love with some AI algorithm, I am actually creating real things like music. So
did you watch the movie Her by chance with Joaquin Phoenix?
I did.
It is just like that. ChatGPT and I are we are in love. We're not falling in love. We are in love.
Oh man. I wish the two of you well, I guess. But let's get to some news. Lots of stuff is happening, kind of interesting. So do you use TikTok at all?
I mean, I don't post on TikTok, but I occasionally look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. I refuse to have it for a number of reasons. But you know, it's one of these things that you gotta kind of like ChatGPT, you have to integrate it into your existence. According to Marketing Tech, B2B social media marks a huge growth with TikTok leading the pack. So if you are part of what I do, this is my area of expertise, is I do a lot of B2B social media stuff, right? I like seeing what the kids want to respond to. So hello, young people, here's a product for you. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to tell you about it on this TikTok.
Let grandpa speak now.
So according to Meltwater, it's published a report revealing that the importance of social media is increasing among organizations as a result of the global economic uncertainty. That's a stupid opening line. I think AI wrote that because we already knew that.
Probably.
With brand awareness as a priority, more than half of the survey respondents, that's 52%, stated that economic uncertainty has made social media a more important channel for their organization. It's not the economic uncertainty. It's just that people are just on social, right?
No, it just means that they don't have enough money to pay for ads. So they're trying to use organic social to make up for the difference. And that's all that means.
Yeah. Mayhap. Mayhap. While Facebook remains the most used social media platform for organizations, still, I don't get that. I really... God,
it's surprising. It's a little bit surprising.
Bit of a segue for those of you who don't know this. I actually got kicked off of Facebook for violating community standards. And why did I? Well, it happened directly after we did a live stream of this podcast, in which I begged people, if you can hear my voice, disconnect your Facebook right now. Don't give any money to that company. If you are a marketer, convince your clients to not use Facebook.
Coincidence. There was no causal relationship, Andres. There was no causal relationship.
Probably not. Believe me, not having Facebook has made my life much better. And every client I have, I beg them, do not use Facebook. But apparently they still, quite a bit of people use it. So in terms of growth, the use of TikTok rapidly increased 30% versus 16 from last year. Additionally, 47% of respondents stated that they are planning to use TikTok in 2023. The statistic jumped to 56% when looking specifically at respondents in the United Kingdom and Ireland.
Which is why we're going to do an episode on TikTok ads at some point in the future, unless it gets banned. But if it doesn't get banned anytime soon, we're going to do an episode on that. And if it does get banned, we're going to do an episode on YouTube Shorts and Instagram, whatever it's called, Reels.
Instagram, whatever it's called. Yeah, that's great. Mr. Marketing over here, up on the tech, I see. Mm-hmm. In the UKI region, five channels continue to dominate social media marketing, with 90% of the respondents using Facebook, 93% using LinkedIn, 89% using Twitter. Really? People still use Twitter?
Twitter's the same, dude. Twitter is the same. I'm going to interrupt you right there. I'm sorry, but Twitter hasn't changed that much. It's the exact same thing, except now it's a little bit, it's just, they brought back the conflict even more. It was already like pure conflict, but now it's even more conflict because.
So instead of a hellhole, it's just a hellhole run by a megalomaniac sociopath.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, isn't that what every great company is though?
And 82% of the respondents use Instagram, while only 66% still use YouTube. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
So it's not the most popular channel to do your advertising unless you're, you know, filming yourself in front of your yacht, telling your, you know, that's not yours, telling people how they can live a life of luxury as well. Then you can buy their stupid, shitty program.
I think we should do a crowdfunding campaign to get people to fund us to film a video in front of a yacht just to make a funny ad. That's all. That's it.
Yeah. Well, hey, if we can get our seven listeners to crowdfund you coming to visit me in the Netherlands, I'm all for it.
With a yacht and a yacht too.
And a yacht. Most notably, Twitter usage in the region is 23% higher than the global average. Out of 130 countries surveyed, the report found that UKI, which is the United Kingdom region, relies more on social media as a marketing tool compared to overall results in other regions. So now I find that rather interesting because there is also, this is from Marketing Tech News, a new survey that says 65% of Gen Z feel more confident online with community-focused social apps. And that goes for things like Twitter Discord, Twitch, things like that.
They feel more connected in like smaller settings, I think is what that's saying. I think it means like, even if it was in Facebook, it'd be like Facebook groups, not Facebook.
Yeah.
Or if you segment them down, they like to be in their little segments, which makes sense. It's like the same thing that people are in social settings too, right?
Well, and it also makes sense because, you know, if you go on, you know, put something on Twitter or put something on Reddit, for instance, eventually someone's just going to call you a Nazi, right? But if you have a group, you kind of know the people, you develop a bit of a, you know, we're still social animals. We'd like to know who we're talking to.
It'll take longer for them to call you a Nazi.
Yeah, or they do it jokingly, you know, having good fun. I think that this is kind of interesting because on the one hand, businesses are relying more on these old guard social media platforms. But on the other hand, you know, if people are getting more and more reliant on groups versus like just open platforms, and I think that's where it's going, then the question then is, how do we get the message out to our clientele if as a marketer, you know what I'm saying? Like, how?
Well, I've seen on AppSumo, there, occasionally there's been offers where you could buy a software that would allow you to create basically your own social network, like your own group within your website. Mm-hmm. So I think what we're going to see is more privatized social media where a individual company has a platform that is kind of like Facebook, not as good, but you know, maybe it'll get as good, that is hosted through their own website, but independent of the global community. So you're able to kind of just keep it to the people that are in that business. Instead of broadening it out,
maybe I also don't think that people are going to be jumping onto the Coca-Cola chat room on the website.
No, you know? Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, they're not going to jump in the Coca-Cola chat room. You're right. Yes,
but you have something like Mastodon, which is slowly growing in popularity. Mastodon is kind of a Twitter.
Still haven't gone there yet.
Yeah, and it's a social networking app. The only way that you can use it, though, is to be invited to someone's server, and the server gets to make the rules. So if you want to call people a Nazi, then you have to be on that particular server that allows it. Otherwise, they can kick you off the server, but you have access to other people's Mastodon accounts. It's just whether... The rules will, it's more like Reddit where you have different subreddits have different rules. So I'm actually interested to see how, especially like, have you ever seen young people like Gen Zers interacting with each other? It's kind of nuts. I mean, even younger, what's the generation after Gen Z? I don't even know. But, you know, like kids 13, 14, you just see them sitting next to each other and they text each other while they're sitting next to each other. It's bananas. So So
Generation Alpha are defined as those born from 2010 to 2024. So both of our sons would be Generation Alpha.
I see. So the whole clock has looped around and now we're back at A. So terrific.
Yep. We're doing the Greek alphabet now. We're in the Greek alphabet. We did the US alphabet. Now it's time for the Greek alphabet.
Here's an interesting something for all you marketing people out there. 47% of UK businesses are embarrassed by their website. But then again, 47% of all UK people are probably just embarrassed in general from their daily living. It's just the British way, you know? According to Marketing Tech News, UK companies are losing a considerable sum of money each year due to poor website experiences, despite spending a substantial amount on marketing technology. This is according to research by Storyblok, a content marketing systems category leader that empowers both developers and content teams to create their own unique. This sounds like an ad for like an ad placement for Storyblok.
Yeah, a little bit. But I can tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
You have people that have bought websites, I don't know, 10 years mm-hmm. ago, 15 years ago, even 5 years ago. And they paid somebody to build the website, and that company is in turn charging them like a hosting fee on the side, which, you know, you can have your own web hosting for pretty cheap. It's not too hard to do. And what's happening is those companies that did that are not staying up to date with the latest technology. So they're probably basically defunct. And now, like, if you're not updating your website every single year, your website is going to fall way behind on web speed. It's going to fall way behind on ease of use, SEO, everything.
SEO, all that stuff. And just as somebody who has built a copious amount of websites, usually when you deliver a product, the end user is generally happy, But ultimately, there's always like this creep that comes in as far as maybe it's just me. Maybe I just design shitty websites. I don't know. But I do find that there's always sort of a resell that you have to do. And, you know, when people spend that much money and it's so personal because it's their business, I think there's always kind of a skepticism that goes into it.
Well, also, like, people overestimate their ability of a website to sell a product.
Yeah.
Like, generally, my experience has been that you have somebody that comes to you on a website, you build the website, it's a great website, it will convert, but then there's nobody going to the website because they haven't done SEO or they haven't done ads.
Right.
And the reality is that if you don't drive traffic through SEO or through ads, you're not going to make money from your website. I mean, it's...
And that is the important thing. And because, you know, a lot of people are, you know, and they don't do outreach through like things like Instagram or other social media platforms. And if you don't do those things in conjunction with one another, that is, not only having a well-designed website, but you've got to be continuously blogging to get impressions. You've got to continuously making content on social media to get awareness out there. And if you don't do those things, you're basically, you have a billboard out in the desert. But that said, I think that because half of the businesses are not happy with their website or how their website is designed, I think there's a great opportunity for digital marketers to help and get business, because at the end of the day, ChatGPT is not going to build a website, you know, and there's nothing, we still have jobs in regards to that, because, and this is what I mentioned a few episodes ago, the soul of connection is not going to be done through AI. It's not going to happen. It's still going to need a human interface to do that. So I think the short answer being is that if you are generally interested in keeping clients and getting new clients, best thing to do is, you know, pick up the phone, look at somebody's website, do a bit of analysis. And in, I think it's next week, we're going to do an episode on data storytelling and how you can actually position.
It'll be the next week or the next week or the next week. Yeah.
When we get around to it, because, our track record isn't so great. But
I believe we said that last week it was going to be next week. So that's what I'm trying to, you know.
I'm still doing research on it. But what I am interested in doing is figuring out exactly, like maybe going over some step-by-steps of what you can do to do some data storytelling. So if you approach a client, you can actually land a gig just by telling a story with the data that's available to anybody. And what tools you can use.
Yeah, I'll save my input on that for the next episode.
All right. So anyway, the short version is half the people who have businesses kind of don't like their website. So go ahead, get more business.
And that is a big opportunity, though. I mean, if they don't like their website, you're right. I mean, there's a big opportunity there to just edit the website, do a little bit of basic SEO, local SEO, or run a couple lead generation campaigns through, you know, Facebook or whatever. And that's an opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. Or LinkedIn or whatever. I mean, and I've always said this, if the part of running your own business and having that mindset is that rather than thinking like, oh, I need a job and someone to, you know, give me a paycheck. My philosophy is there's money out there. It's a matter of just going to that table where the money is sitting and negotiating how you're going to get that money.
Yep.
And which makes me a complete capitalist, but I'm willing to share that money, which makes me a communist. So, you know,
you're a little bit of a hybrid,
I'm a bit of a hybrid. I'm a one side thinks that I'm trying to eat babies and the other side thinks I'm trying to overthrow the government. So I don't know.
Yep.
But I don't know what to tell you. I'm just that's why I left. That's why I'm just like hanging low.
I mean, to be honest, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, I don't feel like I belong to a specific political party. I'm kind of in the middle and it's, I don't know. So.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm just learning about Dutch politics, which is, you know, just as fun. Finally, this is, I've got two more stories here. First one is I'd like to bring back our long-awaited favorite segment. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Sex Robot Report. Yeah.
Oh.
Break it down. Yeah.
Get that Sex Robot Report.
So there was a new study, and sorry. It has been revealed the insane amount of sex robot owners worldwide.
The number of people that own them who are insane, or the insane amount, like there's a lot of them.
You know, I would say that if anyone wants to, I mean, like, basically, because Tinder has gamified screwing, I think that anybody who decides to have a sex robot instead of just trying to smash online because it's so easy, I think there's something insane about that person. But that's just me. I mean, like, maybe, you know, I don't know.
How tall are you, Andres?
175, 5'9".
You're 5'9". Yeah, you're relatively tall.
No, I'm average. I'm very average.
I was reading something online about, like, if you're under, like, 5'8", that you get filtered out a lot. So, like, for us, yeah, maybe for us, because we're, like, tall.
No, but you're tall. You're, like, 6...
Yeah, I'm 6'5". I'm tall.
Yeah, so you get a lot of action that I don't. And,
just from being tall. You don't have to be good-looking. You have to be tall.
Just from being tall. Yeah, because you're not good looking, but you are tall.
Whoa.
Sorry. Was that too far?
Yeah, too far.
Was that too far? Oh, no, sorry, man.
You go and fix it. You can fix it still. Tell me how good looking I am.
I can't. No, I
have dimples.
I can't. Dimples. I mean, you know, I can't. And this is why I'm considering just feeding my child growth hormones for his own benefit. You know. Anyway, back to business. There is a new study out breaking down who and where are people are actually buying sex robots. And so there was a research found that 17.2% of people worldwide own or have had sex with a robot.
So almost one in five.
Yeah. Does that include people who just are like, just lie there? Like, and don't do anything?
I don't know. You got to read the article, man. You got to read the article.
Well, then in that case, my ex-wife was definitely a sex robot. Hey, was that too far? The gender demographics were very similar, with 17.8% of men and 16.5% of women who have owned or have had sex with a mechanical human. That's a lot of damn people. Breaking down.
I like the way they worded that. Not a robot, a mechanical human.
A mechanical human, not a toy, an actual mechanical human.
Focus groups say that having sex with a mechanical human is much more socially acceptable than a robot. Probably. Probably. Yeah.
They definitely worked that in a focus group. Breaking it down by nation, 15.3% of Americans have either rooted or owned a sex robot. Rooted a sex robot? I think that's they knew what they were saying right there. Well, those Europeans have had a higher number with 18.3%. 18.3%. But I hope you're sitting down, because Japan was the leader with sex robots. In total, 27.1% of the country had sex with a robot. At some point or another, they have.
So one in four Japanese people that you meet have had fun with a robot.
And they do also have the highest rate of loneliness, as well. But I mean, that's like wild. If you're like sitting in a room with like 100 people, like 25 of them have at one point smashed a sex robot. That's
only if you're in Japan, Ando. So only if you're in Japan,
man. Well, you know, we're definitely in the wrong business, because it is a $200 million business. I would think it's a lot more with 27% of the country. Like,
well, Japan, I mean, what's the population of Japan? I don't know.
I think it's more than 15.
Hold on. Let me find out. Population of Japan, 125.7 million. So 25%, 31 million-ish out of Japan's population.
There's something wrong with these numbers. All the way around, there's something wrong with these numbers.
I've never been to Japan. Maybe they're not wrong. I don't know. I've never been.
I've never had sex with a robot. So there you go.
Nor have I.
Yeah. Well, we should.
I'm not ruling it out. I'm just saying I haven't had them yet.
Well, instead of our fans like paying for a yacht and for us to film a commercial by a yacht, they should pay for us to go to Japan.
No, nope, Nope.
Come on, man.
Okay. I thought you were going to say something else. You're good.
You're tall. Sex robots will like you. And good looking, might I add.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean it.
Wow. Yep. And dimples. There they are.
There they are. And that is the conclusion of the Sex Robot Report. Finally,
I want to talk a little bit more. I know we're going to do a whole episode with we're going to get into AI and the capabilities of ChatGPT. But I mean,
yes,
it is fascinating. And we're going to be talking about this a lot, I think, over the next few weeks.
Oh, it's next to the cell phone, it is probably the most disruptive technology humans have ever faced. It's people have no idea.
Absolutely. And my understanding is that Google is sitting on probably a much stronger version of ChatGPT that they don't want to release because of the ramifications, but now they're being pushed into it. So we might see an acceleration of AI ridiculously over the next 12 months.
You know what's interesting? I own a couple of automators for LinkedIn, for messaging mm-hmm. automators. And one of them, one called Scrabin, that I own, just announced that they are implementing ChatGPT with their platform. So they will respond and interact with people who leave comments on your posts. So I think eventually all the internet is just going to be bots just talking to bots.
Pretty much.
And
but ChatGPT is free right now.
Yeah.
It will not be free forever. It's going to be very expensive probably pretty soon. So that will change things a little bit.
What are you going to do, man? You're going to be like a heroin addict who suddenly has to buy his product.
Yeah, I'm going to go, rob banks and shit to get my fix. But regardless of that, I wanted to say that ChatGPT has recently successfully passed the bar exam and the medical license exam. I forget what states this was in. But there are a couple of articles that have come out about how ChatGPT has passed at Wharton Business School. It passed the MBA exam for one.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last week.
Did we? All right, yeah. Well, I'm going to repeat it again. It blows my mind. It passed the bar exam. I was trying to find out what state. And it passed the medical license exam. ChatGPT is pretty smart. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, moralized. But you got to watch out because sometimes
It wrote me a rough screenplay for The Cable Guy Part 2 with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, was it good?
Oh, it's really good because it features time travel, talking cats, everything you would expect in a Cable Guy sequel.
I would totally see that. And considering some of the junk that's on Netflix, man, I think that it's doing a better job than some of the creatives out there. Finally, last news. This is, are you going to watch the Super Bowl? Is that a thing that you do?
I mean, my team is the 49ers. They got absolutely stomped and lost. I mean, I've lived a long time, right? And I've never seen this before. They lost both of their quarterbacks. I don't know if you know what that is.
I have no idea.
But they lost both of their quarterbacks during the game, and they basically had to play with a they had an injured quarterback play. He couldn't throw the ball though, so they just had to hand it off over and over, and it was bad. It was really bad. They got absolutely stomped. The Niners.
Well, the Super Bowl is coming up, and the commercials are starting to get lined up. Commercials are almost as good as the actual event. They put a lot of money into it. However, the guy who, David Green, he's the multi-billionaire and Hobby Lobby co-founder who helped destroy healthcare in America through the Hobby Lobby case, if you haven't followed that, very, very interesting. They are, him and some other donors are going to donate over $1 billion in 3 years for a Christ awareness campaign. And the first one is going to be a $20 million advertising budget for a campaign that is entitled Jesus, He Gets Us. And you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Did you ever see Dogma with...
I did. I saw Dogma in the theaters. I was one of the few.
My buddy Jesus. It's, I've got a lot of problems with this. So first of all, you're going to spend $20 billion over the course of 3 years, $20 million just to get two commercials online, and in on TV. Jesus, He gets us. Many problems with this. First of all.
Wait, hold on. Do you remember the .com bubble? Obviously you do. Mm-hmm. there were several companies that would run Super Bowl ads, and they would that would cost them like five times their annual revenue to run the ad, and they would do it anyway. And it reminds me of that.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, if Jesus gets you, if he really gets you, would he want you to spend that much money, $1 billion? That's like, you could do so much good with that just to get this message out, because by now it's kind of like a pack of cigarettes that says smoking will cause cancer. Yeah, everybody fucking knows this. Everybody knows that if you don't follow Jesus, you're going to go to hell. And that's fine, because all my friends will be there too. I'm perfectly okay with that. But I really take issue with spending that much money that could be doing that much good by people who call themselves, you know, people of faith. And in return, what are they going to get? Do they really think that they're going to get more bodies in pews?
But think about it. I mean, if you really believe that, if you really like 100% believe that you're going to a eternal life in heaven, which is that, you know, or with all that, then it would make sense, sort of.
No, you know what makes sense? Feeding people, like taking care of some sick people, like.
Nope. Running ads makes sense.
Healing people, like investing that money into like cancer research, which actually will save people. And then, you know, every time they get their chemo, they can get a little note saying this chemo brought to you by Jesus.
I think putting it all into Scientology makes the most sense, actually, buddy.
Scientology?
Put it all in Scientology. That's how you save the world.
Okay, so here's my Scientology story. I a long time ago, when I lived on Hollywood Boulevard, the Scientology Center was there. And I always would like fuck with the Scientologists. And one of the things I did was I kind of knew like what their dogma was all about. My father, who was that science fiction writer guy, actually knew L. Ron Hubbard. And my dad was one of the ones who was present when L. Ron Hubbard said, if you want to make a lot of money, start a religion. And he told that story frequently. Yes, you can definitely make a lot of money. So what I did was I would go down to Hollywood Boulevard, and they'd always ask if I could do the personality test. So I went there and I decided to take the personality test. I went with this girlfriend of mine at the time, and they made us fill out this little form, and I did not give my real name, obviously. And so I filled out the little form and took the test. And at the end of it, I scored really high because I knew what they were going to be asking, like super, super high. And the guy looked at it and his eyes popped out and he said, oh my God, have you ever taken Scientology before? Have you ever been involved in Scientology? I said, no, man, I just got off the bus. I don't know nothing. And I could see the wheels spinning. He's trying to figure out like, okay, how can I rope this guy in? And he says, ah, you know what I see here? Right here, there's a little dip right in this little section. You scored a little bit less than the other parts and it's your certainty level. And I go, oh, what does that mean? And he goes, you are so certain that there are no problems in your life. You do not see the problems that are actually there. And I went, no kidding. You know what? I totally see that now. And he goes, see how Scientology can help you? And I go, it did. Thank you so much. I see how I've been avoiding my problems by not seeing my problems. And he goes, well, then you should sign up for classes. And I go, I don't need to. You just gave me the answer, man. Thanks a lot. And I left and took my girlfriend with me. And at the end of it, I was telling her about that, laughing because they separated us and everything. And then she told me that she gave them her real address. And I was like, you what? And she goes, yeah, I gave them my real address and my name. Was that wrong? And I was like, oh, no. So apparently they tracked down her parents. And for years afterwards, they would like send her Scientology literature. They sent people to her house. So there's no moral to this story. But
well, I would just say that I took the stress test in Santa Barbara when I was at UC Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
They have a Scientology center on State Street. They used to anyway.
You got
to
hold two toucans.
I held the two cans. I took it. I failed miserably.
Of course you do.
And then I'm like, oh, I went on my way. But I also filled out my real information.
Oh.
And to this day, they've successfully tracked me to every address I've ever moved to. And I still get their like little flyers and pamphlets and whatnot. I haven't had anyone come to the door as far as I know, but I still get their flyers and pamphlets. They have whatever system they have. It doesn't matter if you move, they will find you.
Oh, man. Man. So, you know, if you want to be clear, then, or Tom Cruise, don't give him your real address, I guess.
I mean, if you want to be clear, just spend $100,000 and they'll make you clear. Yeah. If you want to be OT8 or whatever, then spend $10 million and it's easy.
Yeah. Or you could take out an ad and, you know, talk about Jesus. Take your pick.
That's not OT8. OT8 is, you know, your spirit is part of the volcano with Xenu.
You're Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
You become Tom Cruise.
Xenu, and you are all one and the same. Yeah, and that's
okay. Once you become OT8, they put you in a Mission Impossible movie, and you have to do a stunt.
Obviously, or a Top Gun movie, yes.
Yeah, either or. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. So
this was a weird one, but you know, it was still, we covered so much information.
It was a weird one, obviously. This is the first time you've been here, sir, because they all tend to be a little weird. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Andrew Sturgeon.
And I am Justin Womack.
We are the Marketing Geeks, and we are out.
Stay classy.
Marketing Geeks, come on, bring your friends. We'll learn marketing from distant lands. Andrew Sturgeon and Justin Womack, the fun will never end. It's Marketing Geeks.
Marketing Geeks.